First John chapter 2, tonight verse 26. Backing up just a little bit, John has written to them concerning the importance of holding on to Jesus Christ. I have not written unto you because you don't know the truth, but because you do know it. No lie is of the truth. Who is a liar? But he that denies that Jesus is the Messiah. He is the Antichrist that denies the Father and the Son. Let that therefore abide in you which you have heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning remains in you, ye shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised to us, even eternal life. Now, these things, and so that's why I wanted to go back and give it to you in context. The things concerning Jesus and the Father, and how that you have one, you have the other. If you don't have them both, you don't have either. So the importance of holding to the deity of Jesus Christ, and as we pointed out last week, the usual mark of a cult is the denial that Jesus is God. And they try to make him something less than God, usually put him in an angel class, as the Jehovah Witnesses with Michael the Archangel, or as the Mormons, as a brother to Lucifer. But Jesus said, I and the Father are one. So these are the things. John said, I've written unto you concerning them that seduce you. And the importance of holding the solid to the doctrines that have been taught. To seduce is to lead astray. We remember that Satan, there in the garden, seduced Eve. Seduced her to eat of that forbidden fruit. And in so doing, he promised her that she would become as God. And so that seduction, you can become as God, was the thing that sort of caused Eve to eat of that fruit. And of course she gave to Adam, and he did also eat. But Satan said to her, you surely will not die. He was contradicting the word of God. God had said, in the day that you eat of it, you will surely die. Satan, contradicting God, said, you surely will not die. And Satan, first of all, questions the word of God. Hath God said that you can eat of all of the fruit of the trees in the garden? And then questioning the word of God and getting her first to question the word of God, then he contradicts the word of God. Satan's seduction is not changed much. He still tries to get people to question the word of God. Hath God said? And from that he goes to the contradicting of the word of God. So be careful when the questions come. I don't have all the answers. I don't need to have all the answers. I just need to believe what God has said, and I may not understand it, but I do believe it. The Bible warns that in the last days, this seduction would become very prevalent. In Mark 13:22, Jesus said, for false Christ and false prophets shall rise, shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. Today in the church, throughout the United States especially, but throughout the world, there is a great seduction that is going on, and I am amazed at the people who have been seduced or being seduced by this new movement within the church. Strong leaders and very, well, as Jesus said, false prophets are seducing even ministers, as Jesus said, even the elect. And through the ministers, the churches. And the seduction oftentimes comes as sort of a deeper spirituality, going to lead you into methods that will help you to come into a closer relationship with God. And who doesn't want to come into a closer relationship with God? And so they have developed actually this centering prayer or contemplative prayer, whereby you can enter into this spirit realm. You can come into contact with the spirit, and you can have these marvelous, exotic kind of spiritual experiences. You may even have voices speaking to you, who unfortunately, they often think are the voice of God speaking to them, or the voice of the Spirit speaking to them. However, when you look at some of the messages that are being brought to them when they get in this state of an altered consciousness, you know that it can't be the voice of God or the voice of the Spirit. And so it is a very dangerous movement. It is a seduction, and many of the churches and thousands of Christians have been seduced by this new movement known as the emergent church movement. The seduction is found in the introduction of Eastern forms of meditation that are found in Buddhism, in the Hinduism, and in the New Age movement, in the transcendental meditation. They now have a Christian version of this type of meditation. It is called contemplative prayer or centering prayer, but the methods that they are using are borrowed directly from Eastern religions. The purpose is to empty your mind to where your mind almost comes blank. And at that place where your mind is removed from everything else, the mind is sort of in a blank state, that you begin to experience these voices and these impressions that will come to you in that state. It's important at this point to heed the warning of Paul to the Galatians, where he said, "But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed." And we, as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which you have received, let him be accursed. Now, if we are told in the scripture once, that should be sufficient. But Paul saw it necessary to repeat it. And of course, the repetition is for emphasis. If some even angel of heaven would teach you any other than what you have already received concerning Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. Paul warned the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 11:13, "For such are false apostles, They are deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. The thing that troubles me are the messages that the inner voices are giving to the people. It is pantheism. It is God is in everything, and that you are God, that God is in you. And of course, as Satan said to Eve, you shall become as God. And so in these meditative states, the thought that the universality of God, and because of this universality of God, there is then the denial that Jesus is the only way. And these people who are getting into this contemplative prayer, centering prayer, begin to declare that if a person is just good, they will be accepted by God. And you can be a good Buddhist. You can be a good Hindu. You can be a good Muslim. It doesn't matter what route you come by. All of these will ultimately lead to God, and that Jesus isn't the only way to God. And this seems to be one of the common threads of the messages that are coming from these meditative sources. They teach that the substitutionary death of Jesus for our sins is barbaric and unreasonable. So what we just celebrated in the cup and the death of Jesus Christ and recognizing that he died for our sins, actually speak in a very negative way concerning that. One of the leaders of this movement said, today, I personally believe that while Jesus came to open the door to God's house, all human beings can walk through that door, whether they know about Jesus or not. Today, I see it as my call to help every person claim his or her own way to God. So again, the idea that all roads lead to God, Jesus isn't necessary, you find your own way to God. But how does that stand up to the words of Jesus, who declared in John 10, verily I say unto you, he that enters not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. In verse 7 of chapter 10, then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep, and all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. I am the door, and by me, if any man will enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. And then in John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. The phrase or the thought, all roads lead to God, not to the God who is revealed in the Bible. There is only one way, and that is through Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, the life, he said. No man comes to the Father but by me. Another one of the leaders in this movement said, the God who would exact the last drop of blood from his son, so that his anger evoked by sin may be appeased. This God, whose moods alternate from between graciousness and fierce anger, a God who is still all too familiar to many Christians, is a caricature of the true God. This God does not exist. This is not the God whom Jesus Christ reveals to us. This is not the God whom Jesus called Abba. Brennan Manning, in his 2003 book Above All, cited Shannon almost word for word, insisting that such a God could indeed not exist. And so the denial that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin, the denial of the scripture that declares without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sin. They say that we have to have a new mindset. Alan Jones, in his book Reimagining Christianity, calls the doctrine of the cross a vile doctrine. Brian McLaren, one of the greatest leaders, or one of the most prominent leaders of the emergent church, calls the doctrine of the cross and hell false advertising for God. They teach you that in order to make your spiritual connection, you slowly repeat a word for 20 to 30 minutes until you're just sort of repeating it automatically and your mind sort of goes into a blank state. Now, you can choose the word that you want, and they do often suggest that you use the word Jesus. And that for 20 minutes, you just sit there, eyes closed, in a relaxed position, and just say slowly over and over, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And after about 20 minutes or so, your mind goes blank, and then you begin to hear these voices. You can use the word Bible. You can use any word that you want. It's a mantra. It's the same thing that Hindus use, or the transcendental meditation. It's a mantra repeated over and over until your mind goes blank, and then your ears are open to hear these voices that will come and speak to you. Quite obvious that these voices that come, and of course in the New Age movement, it's the same thing. They have the same type of meditation, and a lot of times these voices identify themselves as masters from the past. They have names such as Abraham and others, and they begin to guide people. And you go into this meditative state in order to receive guidance and direction. And the New Age movement calls them channelers. And they will go into this state of meditation until these voices come to them, and then they begin to write, or automatic typewriting. And not, when I say typewriter, I don't mean a typewriter, just automatic type of writing. You just sort of start writing, and it's guided, the thoughts are guided, and many of the books that are being published are being dictated by these spirit guides that these people have. And they will acknowledge Napoleon Hill, who was one of these, he was sort of a New Age type of fellow, really before the New Age became popular, but he had a spirit guide, and his book, he confesses, Think and Grow Rich, came directly from the spirit guide that he contacted during periods of meditation. These practices of meditation are something that, as I said, have been very common in the New Age. And The scary thing is the fact that the voices so often inform you that God is in all things and that Jesus is not the only way. So as John said, I don't want them to seduce you, denying the Father, denying the Son and all. And it warns about the seduction. And I am a little concerned also that they purport to have these experiences with God without Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells us that he is the way to the Father. There's one God, one mediator, and that is Christ Jesus. Of course, you've probably heard Oprah Winfrey, and she had this gal who wrote the book, The Secret, that's been made into a movie. And this is a part of this whole kind of contacting the spirit realm through meditation and the secrets that she learned in doing so. And of course, after her appearance on Oprah Winfrey program being featured there, her books began to sell by the millions here in the United States. And The Secret speaks of the universal mind, the unity of all that exist, and is exactly what is found among the so-called Christian contemplative masters. Alice Bailey, whose name is synonymous with the New Age movement. In fact, she's the one that coined the word New Age, was instructed by her spirit guide that the age of enlightenment was going to come not around the Christian church, but rather through it. And it looks like her prophecy is coming to pass, for nearly every major online Christian bookstore is selling books that promote the New Age style of meditation, which has a premise that all roads lead to God, and divinity is within every human being. It's the discovering of the God in you, and thus removing the need of a Savior. Paul warned Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:1, "Now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and the doctrine of devils." It would appear that we are living in those times. I do not want to have an empty mind. And I do not want to meditate until my mind is empty. If I'm going to meditate, I'm going to meditate on the goodness of God and the greatness of God. And I want my heart and mind to be filled with the understanding of his goodness and his greatness towards me through Jesus Christ, my Savior. But not to meditate to an empty mind to where any voice can then begin to communicate to me heresy that is coming forth from these meditations. Peter wrote in his second letter, chapter 2, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them." And I think of how these fellows are calling Christianity as we know it slaughterhouse religion. And they speak disparagingly of the blood of Jesus Christ and its ability to cleanse us from all of our sins. And they talk of the atonement in a very negative way, even denying the Lord that bought them, would surely describe the statements that are being made by many of the emergent leaders. Here's a quote from another leader in the emergent movement. "The church's fixation on the death of Jesus as the universal saving act must end. And the place of the cross must be re-imaged in the Christian faith. Why? Because of the cult of the suffering and the vindictive God behind it. And so they want a new God. And they want to deny that Jesus, the Son of God, was sent by God to die for our sins that we might be forgiven and pardoned and spend eternity with him in his kingdom. Paul warned the Galatians of another gospel. He said, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him who called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. What is the gospel that Paul preached? Moreover, brethren, he said, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached, and also you have received, and whereby you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. He was buried and rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. What was the other gospel? That righteousness can come by the law, or righteousness can come by keeping certain ordinances, or righteousness can come by being good, or righteousness can come through other kinds of leaders, such as Muhammad or Buddha or Vishnu or whatever. And that's another gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ is that he died for your sins, and that he is the way by which you can come to the Father. And it is through his death that you have the hope of eternal life through him. Beware. It's a movement that is gaining strength every day in our church, in our churches across the country. But beware of another gospel and hold fast to the truth of Jesus Christ. Don't let it go. Father, we thank you for the truth that is in Christ. We thank you, Lord, that he did shed his blood for our sins, that he did make an atoning sacrifice for us, and that by him and through him, we can come into a relationship with you. Lord, we pray that you will help us. Help us, Lord, to be alert and to be aware, and not to be seduced into these things that are going so strong in so many churches today. These books that are coming out, Lord, by the scores, that are advocating this new realm and this new way, and the meditation to a blank mind and the mantras and oh, Lord, help us that we might hold fast to the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, not wavering, not being cast to and fro by every wind of doctrine, but, Lord, that we might grow up in Christ in all things, into the complete man and woman that you would have us to be, Lord, rightly dividing the word of truth, walking in fellowship with you made possible by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. We pray this in his name. Amen. Shall we stand? The pastors are down here at the front to pray with you tonight. If you have a particular need, we would encourage you to just bring it to the Lord. He loves you, and he has died for you. And if God spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how much more shall he not then freely give us all things? So whatever you need tonight is nothing compared to what God has already demonstrated his willingness to give to you, because he loves you. He gave his only begotten son. So they are here tonight to pray for you. and to pray for your needs. So we would encourage you when we're dismissed, come on down and let these men minister to you tonight before you go home. May the Lord just be with you, bless you, keep you in his love, fill you with his spirit, and cause you to abound in the richness and the fullness that is ours in and through Jesus Christ our Lord. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice.